LiveWire with Ling Pang.
Hi, this is Ling Pang for LiveWire. I'm delighted to be joined by Chris Amu, who's one of the original members of the band The Real Thing, for the Christmas special. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Yeah, really good. Well, don't ask me to sing any Christmas carols and you'll be okay.
There's so much history to talk about with your band. I believe that you yourself, Chris, and Dave are the original members of The Real Thing.
Yeah, that's right. Dave and I formed the group in God knows when, but we were only 14 at the time.
So young.
Yeah. But we were very young when we decided what we actually wanted to do. A lot of people think that because we come from Liverpool, that we were influenced by the obvious, like the Beatles and things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But I have to explain that really the Beatles were not our inspiration. Our inspiration came from the Black American groups that were just about starting to get national coverage at the time in England. Mm-hmm. And when you look at the television and you see four guys, three guys, whoever's in the band, who all look like you, you say to yourself, well, wow, if they can do that, this is what I want to do. And you start emulating them. And basically, that's how it all came about, you know, listening to all them bands.
Who thought of the name The Real Thing?
Well, actually, originally we were called a variety of names, but the one we ended up with was a name called Vocal Perfection. We did a huge talent show in England called Opportunity Knocks.
Opportunity Knocks. I was hooked on the programme with Huey Green was the host.
Absolutely.
Was that the starting point for The Real Thing?
That was the actual turning point of The Real Thing turning professional. When we won that programme, we weren't just a local band anymore. We were a national band. So we could turn professional and we could actually earn a living from being, you know, a group, as it were. Mm. And it was as a result of that we met our manager, Tony Hall, who thought at the time that the name was a little bit pretentious for us because we weren't vocally perfect. We were very, very raw. We were young. Yeah. So he said that people might sort of use that against us. So he was driving around Piccadilly in London and the great big Coca-Cola sign comes up in Piccadilly Square. Mm. It says Piccadilly. It says Coca-Cola. It's The Real Thing. And that's where the name Real Thing came from.
That's fascinating. I want to say congratulations to 50 years in music business. Such a long time. You're still a very passionate musician. So what made you want to continue in music after 50 years?
It's all we've ever known. I was a musician when I was at school and it was all that we wanted to do. We've been very, very fortunate that our records have allowed us to last this long. Because with the records being classics, they go through the generations, so people always want to hear the music. We're fortunate enough that we're still able to perform to a level that suits us. And that's why we've been going so long. You know, we've never known.
I mean, your guys have been global success. I was at school at the time. Every time I hear the tunes, the 70s tunes, you know, You to Me Are Everything. Wonderful. That was a number one hit song in the UK chart as well. And then Can't Get By Without You.
Yeah.
They just become part of our life. We sort of grew up with with the music. You never get bored listening to it. Yeah. I'd like to play a song next. Would you like to choose one of your hit songs?
Well, this might surprise a few people, but Raining Through My Sunshine is actually one of my favourite hit sex songs from The Real Thing. So I'd like you to play that one.
Was that a 70s track, Chris?
Yeah, 79. It was from our Feel the Force album. It was in the top 40 for The Real Thing. Yeah. A few things happened surrounding Raining Through My Sunshine. Otherwise, it would have been a much, much, much bigger hit than what it was. But nevertheless, it's my favourite anyway.
since the 70s, producing so many international hits. So what's been happening in between, and there have been a time of Top of the Pops as well, you know, you guys were regular on Top of the Pops.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, basically, we've been doing what a lot of bands do. You see, when you're fortunate and you do have success and hit records, it's not what you do. Your longevity depends not on what you do when you're having the hits.
Yeah.
It depends on what you do when you're not having hits. That's what it all depends on, you know. And that's what gives you your longevity. So, because when you're having hits, you can do anything. Mm-hmm. People love you. You mm-hmm. can go and you can do anything. Mm-hmm. But when you're not having hits, it becomes harder. And it depends on which way you take your career as to how long you're going to last. We decided that we weren't going to just stay still, stand still off the records. We still wanted to keep our creativity and our originality and keep moving with the times, but without losing our base. And it's a very precarious balance because you're wanting to move with the times. Sometimes your fan base aren't ready to quite move that quickly with you. So it's a very delicate balance, you know.
But you're also attracting younger fans as well, isn't it?
Yes, but it all depends then on what you do when the people who are liking your songs come to see you. You know, so, okay, you go through the years, you bring new fans in because they're hearing records sometimes for the first time.
Yeah.
So you be able to please them when they come in, with them being younger, but also not doing things that are going to alienate the fans that have been with you from day one.
Do you find your fan base from different countries have the same taste as the fan that are in UK, Chris?
Yes, I do find, that when we work in like Holland, Germany, places like that, they're a lot more acceptable to us doing new material as well as the old material than they are in our home country. But we work all over the world. And like we say, you know, we do a mixture on our show of the classics.
Yeah.
We write a lot of new material and we mix them in with the classic on stage. People get a taste of what we're doing now and also getting
the new material. Because you said you started music as a teenager since school, so you haven't really been in any other careers apart from music then, Chris?
Absolutely not.
Be able to enjoy what you do and making a living out of that, you know, for 50 years, that is incredible.
Yeah, I always say to people, you know, that when they start in the business, and they come and ask me things, you know. And I always say, success comes in varying degrees.
How do you measure success, Chris?
Right, okay. You get David Bowie.
Yeah.
But then you get Stevie Wonder, more successful.
Yeah.
And coming down the line, you come down to real thing, who are successful. So there's varying degrees of success. But I mark success on, when we started, all we wanted to do was to have a career in music and to be able to do music on stage and earn enough money to earn a living, to keep a family, to just be able to do that. Now, if you're able to do that, you're successful. You've done what you set out to do. Everything else is a bonus.
Speaking of your music, would you like to pick a second track to play next, Chris?
Yes, I'd like to pick a track, once again, which might surprise the listeners.
What is it?
It's from our new album, which is called A Brand New Day. Yeah. And the track is called Children of the Ghetto because it's the best thing that Eddie and I have ever written.
That's wonderful. Mm-hmm.
Very meaningful to the group.
Yeah.
And it's all meaningful to the millions of people who are growing up in areas like the area we grew up in. Mm-hmm. And it tells the story of our growing up in our ghetto in Toxteth and Liverpool. So we find that it's very relevant to everybody who's in that position. And it's the best thing that we have ever recorded or ever written. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la. Sha-la-la-la-la-la-la.
Thank you.
during the COVID lockdown. Did you guys get the chance to create new material? Did you do anything musically?
Well, we were very unfortunate with lockdown, as were most people, because we just released our documentary film, Everything. And we were just in the middle of doing, it was going out in all the cinemas. And it was screened by the BBC.
And, lovely.
Yeah, and it was a 90-minute documentary about the group. And it gave people a fantastic insight into the depth of the group and the social the social things that were happening at the time. And we got cut dead during lockdown. So during lockdown, I used that time to create a new album which features Children of the Ghetto. So that's what I was able to do, as did a lot of artists, during lockdown, you know. And we were able to take our show, our stage show, to another level as well, because we were working on ideas with that, with our band, because we could do that via Zoom with our musicians. Lockdown, I've got to be honest, was very, very important to the real thing, because for the once in I don't know how many years, we had time to sit back and come up with some new material. What we use lockdown for.
And you're the main man for the media promotion, so you're the one always gets sent out to do all the talking then, Chris.
Yeah, I've always done that. And when Eddie, my brother, was alive, Eddie was a third member who passed 4 years ago.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, Eddie used to do most of the interviews. Me and Eddie have always done most of the medias. Yeah.
Tell us your website, Chris.
Yeah, it's www.theofficialrealthing.com. And also you can check us out on our Facebook page. The thing about Facebook, if you follow us on Facebook, is I always do, and Dave, a series of question and answers on video where people can send in questions and Dave or I will answer them on video to you. We'll answer your questions. Also, we put up a lot of videos that you won't see. These are just videos of what we want to put up about. Sometimes we put new songs that you won't be able to hear released. And we'll do little videos of them and things like that. So it's a good site to... The Facebook site is a good page for you to catch up on the real thing and see what's currently happening.
So I understand that you guys are very busy and booked up for tours.
Yes, we are. We're doing a fantastic gig at the London Palladium.
When's that happening?
That's happening on the 20th of January.
Wonderful.
And guesting will be Gwen Dickey's Rolls Royce, another great soul band from the 70s. So it should be a great evening. I'm looking forward to that.
That's lovely. And tell me about your new song.
Yes, our new song. Well, for many, many years, 50 to be exact, the real thing, I've always wanted to do a Christmas song.
Yeah.
But I don't like gimmick Christmas songs, in all fairness. Yeah. There is a place for them. There is a place for gimmick Christmas songs, don't get me wrong. But it's just that I don't want to be involved in any. And up until a couple of years ago, we didn't have it wasn't within our hands and control to be able to do that, even though we've always wanted to do one. But now that it isn't in our control, we decided this year that we were going to come out with a Christmas song, and it's called It's Christmas Time, and it's released on the 1st of December.
That's wonderful. And a good thing about Christmas songs is that they keep coming back being popular year after year, so you get the sort of longevity in that as well, isn't it?
Well, hopefully. As to whether it comes back and back, it depends on how much people like it, you know. But it's a happy song. It's a happy song. It's Christmassy, and we're proud of it. And, you know, we sing it. You know, it's nice.
Thank you, Chris. Bye. Bye.
Bye.
Light the candle, illuminate. LiveWire is produced by Steve Osborne Media. Steve Osborne Media.